You guys see that?
Yes.
I will make him a help meet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Father God, we welcome the presence of your spirit today. Breathe upon your word, O God. Give us fresh insight. Speak to our hearts on this Mother's Day. We ask, Father God, that you take us from faith to faith and glory to glory. We ask a special blessing upon this house, its leaders, the members, and all the plans and purposes that you have for it, O God. We thank you right now that the petitions that they have before you, that you say yes and amen to it. We give you all the praise, glory, and honor in advance in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. God said it's not good that man should be alone. Have you ever thought about why would God say that? Adam was in the garden. He had God's image. He was full of the Holy Ghost. He had God's word. He was put to work as the gardener. He had no consciousness of sin. So why was it good? Why was it not good for him to be alone? Well, we're going to find out, aren't we? After God states that, he said, I'm going to help you out, Adam. I'm going to make you. And I like how the King James put it. He said, I'm going to make you a help meet for him. Now, when you read this in other translations, it's going to say helper. Amen? And it means helper. But how many students of the Word of God are here tonight or this morning? Amen. And so, when you look into the Hebrew, because help meet is an old English term that we don't use anymore. So it kind of don't make sense in today's English. What in the world is a help meet? And so all we can fall back on is that she will be a helper. But how many of you know your wife is more than a helper? Any husbands in the house? How many brothers know your wife is more than a helper? Well, when you take the time out and look up a help meet on this Mother's Day, it literally means to surround, encircle, and protect. Whoa. So when God thought of woman based on scripture, he was looking at Adam, and he said, I'm going to make you someone that's going to surround you, encircle you, and protect you. But I thought it was our job to protect. It is. Amen. That's why he made you bigger and stronger with broader shoulders. Amen. But when you leave your home and go out in this fallen evil world full of traps of the enemy, temptation, devils everywhere, who's going to protect you? Your wife. Hallelujah. He made you to protect her physically, but how many of you know your wife, when she get on her knees, there isn't a devil in hell. Take that, can bag her up. Amen. So he said, I know the mandate, the assignment I've given you, you're going to need a helpmeet. Not just someone around the house, not just someone to help raise the kids, but someone that knows how to throw down when you go out there in the world, that can get the devil up off you while you're handling your business in this world. Somebody say, helpmeet. Mm-hmm. And watch this. It is signified in the very place he took from man to make the woman. This is what I love about the Word of God. You realize that the Bible will interpret the Bible. That's how you know you're interpreting Scripture properly. Allow the Word of God to interpret the Word of God. So when he put him in a deep sleep, what did he take from him? A rib. Didn't we talk about the rib a little bit yesterday? You mind if we dig in there a little bit more? Well, when he took the rib, of course, a rib comes from the rib cage. What is the purpose of the rib cage? It does what? It covers and protects the vital organs. Didn't I tell you in the Hebrew, helpmeet means to encircle, surround, defend, and protect? That's what the rib cage. So he went to the part of man's anatomy that signified the very thing she would do. Mm-hmm. Somebody say rib. You know what I did one day, Bishop? I said, Lord, you're a God of purpose. You're a God of details. You don't do anything haphazardly. I said, Father, which rib did you use? Mm-hmm. You'll be amazed what you get if you just ask questions. And if y'all want to leave all the revelation for Pastor Romeo, I'm going to take it. I'm going to put it in a book. I'll tell you another secret. Ask the Holy Ghost what question to ask him. Because he want to tell you. So I said, Father, you're a God of purpose. You didn't go any, many, mighty, mo. You put that man in a deep sleep, and you already knew which rib you were going to take. I'm bold enough to ask you, Father, which rib? And what did I tell you? The Bible interprets the Bible. Are you there? You know what he showed me? He made me go to the Word of God. And as I research rib is only mentioned 5 times. Breadcrumb number 1. Somebody say 5. So I wrote that down. I'm like, okay, 5 times. Put the number 5 on my paper. Amen. And so the first time it's mentioned is here, when he took a rib from Adam. Guess what? The other 4 times rib is mentioned is in 1 and 2 Samuel. Men of war, men were in battle, and the other 4 times someone was stabbed under the 5th rib and experienced instant death. So rib is mentioned 5 times in Scripture. The first time is when he took one from Adam to make Eve. The other 4 times someone is being stabbed under the 5th rib.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I said, okay, Lord, I see you. Out of the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, let every word be established. I said, it's mentioned 5 times. 4 times is under the fifth rib. Isn't that something? And then I began to research what, based on scripture, well, when these guys was in hand-to-hand combat, why each time did they stab the person under the fifth rib? And I found out in battle, the quickest death is stabbing your opponent under the fifth rib, because that is the rib that's closest to the heart. So when God thought of you, sister, on this Mother's Day, He didn't just take any rib from man. He didn't just take any rib from the rib cage, but He chose the one that's closest to man's heart. And that's why when you pray for your husband, when you cover your husband, when you call out the name of your husband, your prayers, because you're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, because you are one, the entire church can't cover your man the way that God anointed you to. Glory be to God. And you know why they can't cover him the way that you can? Because you're the closest to his heart. You can complete the sentences he started. You know how he thinks. You know his habits. You know his strength. You know his weaknesses. So when you cover your man, I'm gonna drink to that vision. What kind of water is this? Somebody say rib. Yes, Lord. Look at all what you can get in the Word of God if you just ask a couple questions in the Holy Ghost. Now, as we stated yesterday at the banquet, rib, if you hold a rib, which some of you will shortly after service, if you hold a rib in your hand, it's bone, am I right about it? But it's covered with flesh, and that's prophetic of the woman. She is strong on the inside, but she is soft on the outside. God knew what he was doing when he took her from the rib. And so I told you that rib in the Hebrew means the leaf of a door. And in the Hebrew, it means that which is curved. God created us straight up and down. Amen. There's nothing special about us brothers. We may have some muscles, but we just straight up and down. But when we look at our wife, Lord have mercy. When you saw your wife, that's when you start speaking in tongues. Untie my bow tie. Retie my bow tie. Woo! Shoot a mosquito, kickstart a Honda. Amen. When you saw the curves. Because when you're looking at a rib, isn't it curved? Y'all, I'm getting all of this out of rib. I ain't even got to the text, Bishop. And so she's the curvaceous one. Amen. Yeah. And you know what else is curvy about her disposition? Curvy about how he made her? Curvy about her nature? She is the soft, sensitive, emotionally inclined one. Amen. And because he made us straight up and down, we're straight shooters, we're logical, we're common sense based, we're rational. You ask us something, we're going to tell you how it is. Amen. No fluff. It is what it is. But when you ask a woman about something, she's going to throw that curveball at you. Amen. How many of your wives come home from work? As soon as you walk in the door, you say, you make the fatal mistake of saying, how was your day? And 3.5 hours later, she's still telling you about your day, Doc. Because she threw that curveball at you. How many brothers made the fatal mistake asking your wife how you feel about it? Uh-oh. And 3.5 years later, she keeps telling you about her feelings. She threw that curveball at you. Them ribs are tricky, man. Them ribs are tricky. They may look like a prime rib, but when they get done with you. Help me, Holy Ghost. Let me, Lord, what book of the Bible was I in, Chad? Woo! So we talked about yesterday that rib in the Hebrew also means leaf of a door. And as I looked that up, the leaf of the door is the actual door. It's the actual big piece of wood that's within the frame. So you have a knob, you have a framework, you have hinges, you have screws. The leaf is the actual door, but all of it is what we call a door. Amen? So rib also means door. Why? Because when he designed her with reproductive organs, her womb becomes the doorway for anyone to legally come into the earth. Amen. And what I love about this is that he designed you as the door to birth life, to birth those who carry his image. And you're supposed to train those who come through your door. You're supposed to train them in the fear of the Lord and point them to Jesus, who is the door. So God designed the woman to be the door that point to the door. Any help in the house? Mm-hmm. We still on the rib, y'all. And the rib came from where? His side. The same Hebrew word that's used for rib is used for side. Is used for chamber. And any Bible students in the house, if you go home and you look this up in the Hebrew, all of the words that's used or translated for rib is connected to the building of the temple. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, we are the bride of Christ. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And on Noah's Ark, where was the door? On the side. Is the Bible interpreting the Bible today? Mm-hmm. So the door of the ark was on the side because he took the rib from the side. Hallelujah. Now, what I want to show you is, as we stated yesterday, rib comes from a Hebrew root word that means to walk with a limp, to become lame or halt, H-A-L-T. Why would God prophetically put walking with a limp or becoming lame to rib? I'll tell you why. Because as soon as the womb man was made, that got the devil attention. The whole time Adam was doing his thing, everything was cool. The devil didn't rear his head. As soon as the woman was made, the devil said, oh, there's something special about her. Uh-oh. And guess what? He went to talk to the woman. He never engaged the man. You ever ask God, well, why didn't he talk to the woman? I mean, the man. Because she had something he needed too. Amen. God understood when we look at this story panoramically, in hindsight, God understood and he put the meaning in the name of where he took the woman from, where he made man, woman from man. It was prophesying in the name rib. That once the serpent approached the woman and got her to fall, and man ate, after she ate, they left the garden walking with a limp. They had fallen. Anybody ever fell and you got up walking a different way? Amen. Before they fell, they were had the image of God, full of the Holy Ghost, full of the presence of God, walking by faith in the presence of God. They were banished from the garden with a brand new walk. They were no longer spiritually alive. Their carnal eyes was open for the first time that they, the Bible says, and they were naked. They saw their nakedness, and they rushed to make aprons of fig leaves, and they left the presence of God with a new walk. God was prophesying that when I get done with this, the devil gonna show his head, and man will fall and have a new walk. Man is gonna leave my presence with a limp. Man, we become crippled and lame behind this. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. That's all for real. I'm done.
No.
Mm-hmm. I want you to see something. Now watch this. Verse 19 again. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field. Wait a minute. Verse 18, people of God, it says, and the Lord God said, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. Verse 19 does not say, and God put Adam in a deep sleep. What happened here? Somebody need to ask the Holy Ghost, what's going on here? See, if you read chapter 1, man and the animal kingdom was made on the sixth day. But if you read chapter 1, the animals came before the man. It's not until chapter 2 that you get the chronological order. When you read chapter 2, man came before the animals. And right after God said, it's not good for man to be alone, I'm going to make him a helpmeet. He do not put him in a deep sleep, take a rib from him and make the helpmeet. There is a station identification break. That's when he made the animals. Why did God make the animals before he made the woman? The same reason why he put within the meaning of rib to walk with the limp. Because he knew once the woman was made, the devil would rear his head and man would fall. So he made the animal kingdom before he made the woman. So in our fall, there will be a sacrificial system set up to temporarily cover our sins until Jesus came. Lord have mercy. Tell me God ain't worked this thing out. He knew we would need lambs and goats and turtle doves and bulls. He said, hold up. There's a fall coming. But I got you covered. There's a fall, there's a limp coming, there's a halt coming, there's some handicap, that there's a fall coming. I'm not gonna leave you in your fallen state. I'm gonna make the animals now. Amen. Thank God for Jesus. I want you to see something. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he woman and brought her unto man. Have we gotten enough ribs today? Y'all good on the ribs? I can do this all day. We good? All right. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now the serpent appears when Eve shows up. Now the devil rear his head when the womb man shows up. I told you that woman comes from the combination of two words, womb and man. That's short for woman. Female is the combination of two words, fetus and male. We shorten it and made female. Amen. That's how English works. When he saw the fetus male, when he saw the womb man, one who could birth life, he said, this is my turn right here. What I want you to see is, it says that now the serpent was more subtle. Why didn't it say now the devil? Why doesn't it say now Satan? He's introduced into the affairs of man as the serpent. And unfortunately, the church has incorrectly interpreted this to mean that he used a serpent, he spoke through a serpent, but that ain't what the Bible says. He is a serpent. How do I know this? You read the book of Revelation, it says that old serpent who is called Satan and the devil. So Satan and the devil is his name, but a serpent is who he is, is what he is. That changes everything. Because when you think of the devil, you think all this stuff Hollywood have showed you. You need to know that that no good devil is a snake. And for you Bible scholars, go back. That old serpent, look it up in the Greek, it means original. Old in the Greek means original. And it comes from a root word that means first and time, rank, and order. So he is the original serpent. He is the first of all serpents in time, rank, and order. That's your enemy. His name is the devil and Satan, but he is a snake. Hello. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. If you look up serpent in the Hebrew, it's the Hebrew word nakash that means hissing one. And it comes from a root word that means to whisper a magic spell, a prognosticator, one who works divination. We get ready to go there. Amen. So the serpent saw God make from man's rib the one who had a womb, and he said, I need that womb. I need her womb. For the same purpose that God designed the womb, that she could birth sons of God, the image of God in the earth, he said, I need that womb to birth my image in the earth. God designed her womb to birth life. He said, I need her womb to birth death. Say, Pastor, what do you mean? The same female womb that gave life to Jesus, who saved man, also gave life to Hitler, Stalin, Mussolini, Joe Biden, sorry. Bad pastor. So when he approached the woman, sisters, brothers, I need you to hear this. When he approached the woman, how did he get man to fall? He used words. The enemy's greatest power is words. And guess what your greatest power is? Words. We are born again by the very seed of the incorruptible seed of God, the one we worship. His name in heaven is the Word of God. How is it that the enemy understands the power of words better than the church? How is it that the enemy know how to use words better than the church? He got man to fall through conversation. He is, serpent means one that hisses. Serpent means to whisper. A magic spell. Did you know that words by nature cast a spell? The difference is when Satan uses, He uses it for evil to cast a magic spell. When we use it to cast a God spell. And that's why when we preach the gospel, it is the God spell. Mm-hmm. Words by nature cast spell. That's why right now, if I ask you to give me the letters of a certain word, you would be spelling it. I don't know if they do it in this generation, but when I was coming up in school, they taught you a fancy way of writing words. It's called what? Cursive. Why is curse? Somebody gonna get that. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Hear me by the Holy Ghost. The way that God designed a woman is she falls in love through what she hears. A man is attracted to and fall in love from what he sees. Amen. A man is attracted to what he visualizes. She is attracted to what she hears. The enemy understood the makeup of the woman. And we're going to go a little deeper. One of the major problems in the church is the women have always been in the church. The woman has always been faithful. She's always been a giver. She's always been a great servant. Amen. You go into most churches, 80% of the church will be women because they love God with all their soul, mind, heart, and strength. They're saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and that with a burning fire. They're waiting to see what the end is going to be like. They're intercessors, they're worshipers, they're givers. And that's awesome. The problem is, at home, their Adam is not spiritually inclined. Mm-mm. The problem is, thank God for the brothers. We're great providers. We're great fathers. We're great protectors. But we've been lacking as the priest and the prophet. Mm-hmm. And she's sitting there in the presence of God. She's fasting and praying. She's receiving illumination. She's receiving dreams. She's in her gift. Glory be to God. But when she go home to the great provider and protector, she has no one to conversate with about the things of the spirit. And when your woman, when you don't get your weight up and get before God and become the priest and the prophet of your home and begin to get in that word and begin to lead your house spiritually, that leaves an opening. Because that's a part of her makeup. We're two-thirds spiritual and one-third physical. That soulish part of her, the spiritual part of her, she is drawn to what she can hear. And the enemy knew that. And he knows that about your marriage. Because you content with, well, I work hard, and that's a good thing. You need to be congratulated about it. I protect my family. That's a good thing. And you need to be congratulated about it. But what about being the priest and the prophet of your house? Nothing is stopping you. If she can grow spiritually, so can you. There's too many men in the church allowing their wives to be the leader spiritually. And you might think it's okay right now, but because you're not engaging her and challenging her and pushing her spiritually, there's always a fork-tongued devil that got some word in him. Uh-oh. And how did the serpent approach Eve? He didn't just start a general conversation. He started the conversation out with what he knew she wanted to hear. Have God said? Some of you sitting here been waiting for years for the man of God to bring up the word of God, tell you what God showed him. Let me show you what I was praying. Let me tell you what God put on my heart last night. Let me do this. But because she never get it, that opens up a door for a forked snake, a forked tongue snake, to come in and start manipulating the word. Now what he said here? And he said unto the woman, yea, have God said. He didn't say, girl, you looking fine today. He didn't say, can I get a milkshake with those fries? Or fries with those milkshake? He didn't say, girl, you're looking gorgeous today. Come on. He didn't come at her carnally. He came at her in her strength. He came at her right there where he knew she was. He came at her and he understood she's in the image of God. She's full of the Holy Ghost. He came with her with the word. Trying to help somebody. Get your weight up. He came at her with the word. Woo. And the boy was so slick with the word. As he began to talk, he was casting a spell, a magic spell. He was working divination. Did you know that the greatest form of sorcery and witchcraft is through words? Witches and wizards and sorcerers, they cast spells. They use their mouth. They may do other things to attract that spirit, but once they do what they need to do in the occult, they must speak. Are you there? The problem is the enemy understands the power of words better than the church. He's doing all the speaking. He's casting all the spells. Words by nature create atmosphere. He's using words on the church 24/7, and we're just sitting back taking it. And when we can't take no more, we go to God, cry, help me, help you. I've given you everything that pertains to life and godliness. I've given you my word. I've given you my spirit. I've given you my armor. You got the host of heaven. Open up your mouth. The brother said, have God said? Eve said, what you say? Yeah, you want to talk about the word of God? You know how many women in the church wish they went home to someone that want to talk about the word of God? It's got to change, people. He said, have God said? One day, I was on the train in Chicago. We call it the AL system. I was on the CTAL system. Anybody here from Chicago? My man. You a vice lawyer, Elwood? Gangster, what would? Four corner hustler, what set you claim, Doc? So I'm on the hill, Bishop, and there was this one sister that used to always, we rode the same L, and it took a while to get to our stop. And she was religious, holier than everybody else, and she carried herself that way. Amen. She would get on, and part of it was game. Part of it was psychological, because after work, the system, the public transportation system, would be packed. So she would get on every day with this big old Bible. It was three times bigger than this, y'all. And she would have that sanctified religious look. You know, religious folk that think they better than everybody else. She would stand there with that religious look. Amen. Looking like a pit bull with a face dipped in lemonade, looked at sanctimonious. I'm Jesus' first cousin. Look, get it up in the house. And I ain't lying, that Bible was three times bigger. It had to be the original King James Version. That woman had to break into the Vatican, steal that Bible. That Bible was from here to here. She would hold that big Bible. She would stand there, and the place would be packed. There would be nowhere to sit. And she would start speaking in tongues.
Yeah. She did all that to get a seat, right? And so she was sitting there and had that big old Bible on her chest, sitting there looking like, none of you peasants, you pagans, you idolaters better not look my way. And they didn't. I get it. That is for me, though. So one day, I'm sitting behind her, right? And she had that big original King James Version open. And she was reading, I don't know, the book of Ezekiel or something one day. So I looked over her shoulder. I checked it out. I'm like, oh, yeah, she's a lightweight. I got this. So a couple stops later, people that were sitting next to her moved. And I eased up to the front. I say, excuse me, sister. I saw that you was reading so-and-so. And I start breaking it down for her. Really? Sat there, had a whole conversation with a sanctimonious tale. And she opened all the way up and was ready to give me her number and everything. And I hit her with that Heisman Trophy. Woo! I said, no, sister, I'm not interested. And I broke it down to, I said, you know what? Every day you get on here like you're better than everybody else. I said, you stand there, you're supposed to be a woman of God. You're supposed to be inclusive, not exclusive. You don't supposed to sit here. I said, nobody wants what you got. The way you carry yourself, the look that's on your face, how you look down at everybody. I said, but all I did was start breaking that word down to you, and you was wide open. I said, I just wanted to show you that there's always somebody that know that word better than you. Amen. I'm not interested in you with your ugly self. Talking about on the inside. Amen. But she needed to be brought down a notch or two. Amen. So I used that because guess what? Even though I had no ill intent toward her, there's some snakes. There's some fork-tongued snakes that know that word better than a lot of y'all. And sister, if that's the area where you're craving intimacy with, that's that conversation that you ain't been getting at home, you better stay on your face because there's some snakes that'll look over your shoulder and say, oh, you talking about Daniel? Have God said? And before you know it, what you know is wrong, you hopping right through that hoop. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. Woo! Mm-hmm. This is heavy. I want you to see this. Go with me to Genesis chapter 3. We're still in chapter 3. He gets her to fall. She gives her her husband. He eats also. Amen. The fall has happened. Verse 7 says, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together to make aprons. So now they're in a fallen state. The Spirit of God has left them. The carnal eyes have opened, and they're now, the day that you eat, you shall surely die. Now they're walking in death. But I want you to see something. Verse 14, and God said unto the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Y'all don't even know that the devil is cattle and a beast of the field. When he possesses a man in the book of Revelation, the man's name is the beast, because the devil is a serpent. Somebody gonna get that one day. Did not Jesus say, I give you authority to tread on snakes? Then he said, you shall take up serpents, because the devil is a serpent. Mm-hmm. Verse 15. Look at this. He said, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Wait a minute.
Can I step in on you? Uh-oh, we got a problem. He's already deceived her. She's already spiritually dead. We don't even know what that looks like and feel like. We don't know what it is to be a living soul with the presence of God and then experience spiritual death. And the whole world changes for them. We can't even comprehend that. Amen. We don't know what it is to not have a sin conscience. We were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. They did not have that. So the world that they were birthed into, if you would, we can't even comprehend that. But she just fell into that world. As horrific and excruciating that it had to be, she's in that world, and she know it was the serpent that beguiled her. She know who the perpetrator was. But what we just read, it's crazy, because the Bible says, I will put enmity between the woman and her seed. Wait a minute. Why would God need to put hatred between the woman and the serpent? Why would God? He said, I will. He didn't say, now there is. I need y'all to get this. He did not say, since you've fallen in sin, now there is a natural enmity between you two. He said, I will put enmity between you and her. If she just fell, and she know the devil was the one that made her fall, and she just got birthed into this fallen system, spirit, soul, and body, why would God need to do something extra for there to be hatred between those two? I'll tell you why. Because the connection that was made between the serpent and the woman was not broken with the fall. Even though she knew he's the devil now, because she didn't have an awareness of sin before then, now, because the Bible says the man is now like us to know good and evil. Now she knows good and evil. She knows he's the evil one. She knows this world that I'm in now is based on he deceived me. Why would God say, I will put enmity? Because that connection, hear me, sisters, your need and your desire that's connected to your ear, watch that gate. Watch that gate, especially in the evil day that we're living in right now. Hallelujah. There's some brothers in the church. There's some apostles in the church. There's some prophets in the church. They're not apostles and prophets. They're soothsayers. They're wizards. They are sorcerers. In the church, and the church don't even realize it. Look on social media. Look on TikTok. All of the crazy stuff you see on there. Folks sitting there taking it. Folks sitting there listening to it. That connection between your ear and that serpent's tongue, you better watch it. It was so powerful that God had to get involved and said, I will put hatred here. As I am, I want you to see something. Genesis chapter 5, verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam in the day that they were created. Watch this. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image, and called his name Seth. Why does the Bible state that Adam's son is made in his own image and after his likeness with the third son. Why didn't it say this with the first two sons? I'm gonna read it again. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own image. First of all, this lets us know that the image of God was lost in the fall. Now man is producing sons in his own image. God designed the womb in marriage to produce sons in God's image. So this is evidence of a fall. That's why in the New Testament, you need to be conformed to his image, because his image was lost in the fall. But why is it that the Holy Ghost didn't choose to say that a son was made in Adam's own image until it was the third son? Well, whose image was the first two sons made in? Uh-oh. Did you know that Cain and Abel were twins? Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. Genesis chapter 4. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, knew means to be intimate with. And she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. It never says she conceived again. It never says, and Adam knew his wife again. Go through the scriptures. The Bible goes into detail. It's going to say that the man knew the woman and she conceived. We only have one conception here, but two sons. Amen. I believe they were twins. This is the first birth in the earth. So guess what happened? We just read that it wasn't until the third son that the Bible says was made in the image and likeness of Adam. The Holy Ghost put that there so we can look, we can seek. Well, whose image was Cain and Abel made in? Because we read there was physical intimacy. It says, and Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived, and she bare Cain and Abel. Where whose image were they made in? Uh-oh. I told you that connection. Words are seed. In the parable of the sower, when Jesus gave the interpretation, the sower sowed seed. He pulled his disciples to the side and he said, the seed is the word of God. That what he said? If you look up seed, in the Greek, is the Greek word sperma. Words are seeds. And that interaction with the serpent planted a seed. Made a connection with Eve that we don't even understand. And even though the Bible says, and Adam knew Eve and she had these two sons, did you know that it is possible for a woman pregnant with twins, for each one of the twins to have a different father? It can happen. You can be pregnant with twins, and each one of the children in you can have a different father. I believe that's what happened here. One came from Adam. One came from the serpent. And we know which one came from the serpent. He said, I will put enmity, hatred between your seed and her seed. The first two sons was her seed and his seed. That's why there was murder. That's why there was a son that wouldn't repent. That's why there was a son that was rebellious. Because if the enemy don't have seed in the earth, why did God say so? I told you, the enemy approached Eve because she had a womb, and he know if she can birth the image of God, she can also birth my image. And the Holy Ghost left us breadcrumbs, and he said, look, Adam didn't produce anything in his image
until Seth.
There was something going on there. God understood it, and he said, I got to get involved in this. I will put enmity between you two. Because words are powerful. That's where soul ties begin, with words. Lord have mercy. And unfortunately, most of us go to churches that don't believe in this spiritual stuff, don't believe in soul ties, don't really believe in the power of words, don't believe in the present day ministry of the Holy Spirit, don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit. That's why the devil is running all around these people. Because you need all of the word. You need spiritual leaders and mature in the things of God that can see this thing. Glory be to God. But when he prophesied to Eve, he said, the seed of the woman. Women don't produce seed. Seed only comes from the man. He was prophesying about Jesus. And even though the first Adam didn't handle the serpent correctly, the second Adam did. And you know how the second Adam in Jesus Christ, when he came here, you know how he dealt with the serpent's words? When he met him 40 days in the wilderness, and the devil began to speak again, have God said, amen. Jesus showed us what to do. What Eve didn't do, it is written. Amen. Sisters, your only defense against these four-tongued devils is truly knowing what is written. He came, he said, oh yeah, you got some power behind your words. You a great diviner. You know how to work that divination. Use a prognosticator. You know how to whisper magic spells. But I am the word. I know how to deal with you, devil. It is written. Lord, have mercy. And that's what the church got to get back to. You got to get back to understand that we have all authority because we've been given to us by our big brother Jesus Christ. And he has delegated to us. When we speak, we don't speak of our own. We speak in his name. And you need to know what is written so you can tell this four-tongued devil, it is written. Glory be to God. That's how you get them up off of you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because guess what? History have repeated itself. The seed of the serpent is back in the earth. You've seen them on TikTok. A man dressed like a woman reading to the babies. You see them in Joe Biden's administration. You see them. The seed of the serpent in the earth. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we have victory through Jesus Christ. We thank you that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue, every word that rises against us in judgment, we condemn. We thank you that we have no successful enemies. We thank you that the enemy that come against us in one direction shall flee in seven. We thank you that Jesus got up with all power in his hand, and he told us, I've given you authority to tread on snakes, to tread on snakes. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you. Holy Ghost, give us a greater revelation of this thing. Let us obey your word when you said the word, meditate on my word day and night. Let the word continually come from your mouth. Don't cease from praying. Don't cease from speaking the word. Because the enemy has his agents. He has his seed in the earth. And all they do is curse the church. But devil, you a four-tongued liar, and you can't curse what God have blessed. We give you praise right now. And we lift up the sisters today that the enemy have targeted. The sisters today who have the superpower of birth and life in the earth.
We pray your divine covering, your divine protection over her. Not just her womb, but her ears. To her proper discernment. When those places of weaknesses in her marriage are exposed, that they don't let the devil take advantage. In Jesus' name. I thank you, Father God. I thank you for this church, this leadership. And we lift them up before you. We call them blessed. We say that the discernment is in this house. We say that they do not come with enticing words of men's speech, but in power and demonstration of the Spirit. We say in the name of Jesus, that there be your beacon of light on this island. And every place that the sole of their feet shall tread upon, you've given it unto them. We give you glory right now. And we say that all power, all glory, and all honor be unto you, O God, in the matchless name of Jesus. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap. Amen.
The word in you.